Hello and welcome. Scare Track. Scare Track Podcast.
Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I'm scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming.
Spoiler alert!
Freaking awesome.
The quality of the set was amazing.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hello and welcome to the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey, and on today's episode, we are interviewing Dan Brownlee from UK Haunters, the first feature-length documentary on the UK haunt scene. I've seen it. It's blooming awesome. I loved it, and I'm buzzing the fact that it's now finally on general release so the whole world can see it. It's going to be available globally, and on this interview with Dan, we're going to let you know the date it's out and how you can purchase not only a copy online, but also you can get a physical DVD copy as well. So let's take you to the interview with Dan, where we discuss its release date, how you can purchase a copy, and we also discuss all the different attractions and people that you can expect to see within the documentary.
You're listening to Scare Track.
Hi guys, and welcome back to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. Like I said in the intro, I am joined by Dan Brownlee from UK Haunters. Dan, how's it going, buddy?
I am all good, thank you, sir. I'm all good.
Perfect. Excellent. And there's a very, very important reason why we've got you on the Scare Track Podcast again, because it's time to announce when UK Haunters is available to everyone. Do you want to let us all know?
Yeah, sure. It will be, I have been told, quote unquote, available on all relevant platforms, which is Amazon and iTunes, as far as I'm aware, on the 29th of September. So Perfect. By the time this airs, about 4 days' time?
Definitely. Just in a few days' time. So, guys, set your reminders, get on Amazon, iTunes, etc., and check out on the 29th of September the brand new release of UK Haunters, the UK's first feature-length documentary about this fantastic scare and haunt scene we have here in the UK. Obviously, we've spoke to Dan a number of times here on the Scare Track Podcast about a number of things. He's done some Scare Cam takeovers for us. We do our movie reviews as well, which is long overdue. We need to do our next one for sure. But we need to make this episode solely on UK Haunters, because that's how we met. I sort of have a little cameo within the movie, so you guys, you better buy it. But we obviously met because you were filming this, Dan.
Yeah.
Remind the listeners on why you wanted to create the UK's first feature-length documentary on the UK haunt scene.
Okay, well, I won't go too much into the whole background because it's all on the first podcast we did together about it. But essentially, I discovered that the UK had a thriving haunt scene, which I knew sod all about. And I am a haunt fanatic who was 41 years old, I believe, when I discovered the UK had a haunt scene, and was like, if I don't know this exists, there must be an army of me's out there in the same situation who don't know it exists. So my plan was literally to say, look at this, this is so cool, and there's people don't know about it, and they should, because if you're not, it's the same thing. Like, I like punk music, but I'm the only person I know at my group of friends likes punk music, so I don't know much about the punk scene. Same sort of thing with haunts. Yeah. My wife happens to be very into haunts as well, but apart from us two, but none of her friends do, so we don't know many people to branch out to say, oh, this, that, and this, that, and all that. And I thought there's got to be so many people like that who just aren't in the scene or aren't aware of it or don't have friends who are as into it. And I thought the world needs to know. I thought, bloody hell, let's show America, because everyone bangs on about America, and America is good, yeah, don't get me wrong, but I don't hear people banging on about the UK, and they fucking should.
Like you say, it is very limited to here, the UK, and we're not telling the entire world what we're doing. So here with UK Haunters, the first documentary about our scene, you're able to give a global audience an insight in what we do, basically.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. And it's also very personal as well. This is, if you're expecting a Netflix documentary, don't bother. It's not that. I literally got a suitcase full of equipment and filmed it myself, bar maybe one or two scenes. And also some of the haunts, lovely buggers they are, gave me promo footage. But all the actual footage that I shot was shot by me, bar one scene where I had to get my mate in because I was getting made up. It's very rough, and it is literally documenting my journey of discovery. There's not really, it's not bar I've got these people I'm going to visit. There wasn't much of an overall plan for it. I just literally just went around filming and then cobbled together what I could and try to just do it in an inventive, interesting visual way.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And it is visual. It's really enjoyable. And it is very self-discovering as well. Like you're saying, you have these moments where you cut back to yourself in a very first person kind of way of just going, this is what I just found out. It was awesome. So I've gone to visit. I'm going to go back again. Like you say, it's a very personal aspect. And I like that. It's very different to any other of the US haunt documentaries that I've seen. Is that something that you wanted to make sure that it wasn't only covering something completely different, as in the UK scene as opposed to over the pond, but something that was make it unique, something your own?
Well, in all fairness, I've had not the greatest luck with the feature films I've done. And they all tend to be down to upper management, for lack of a better term. Yeah. Where they'll take something and they'll mess around with it, give it back to you to fix it, take it away and bugger it up, and then go, oh, by the way, there's no gore. You can't have this, you can't have that. And it's like, well, what the hell have you left with my film? And that is what I didn't want with this. I didn't want... Yeah. I did start at the beginning looking for finance, because I finance this whole thing myself. And I started chatting to people and I got that same vibe. Do you know, you're going to do the same thing. You're going to tell me you can't do this. You have to do this. And I didn't want that. I wanted something that I could control, that I could represent through my eyes, the way I saw it in the way I wanted to. And it evolved, which was the beauty of it. It's like when I was interviewing Andy, who's known widely as Cookie, he was talking about the haunt scene continuously evolving. So I was like, well, maybe this documentary should evolve as well. So as I was going, I was doing more things of it. There's a lot of times there's kind of little mini movies, little like 10-second clips as if they were taken from a film where it's kind of about the essence of what we've just watched, but I've done it in a little film. So the whole thing was super, super personal. I didn't want someone coming in and going, oh, no, you can't do that anymore. Or we haven't got a budget for this. Or no, we don't know. That's not our view. I wanted something 100% me, which may be to its detriment because, as one person said, and rightfully so, one of the down points of it is I don't go into the history of it much because it's just me shouting about it. But it's literally, it's my discovery. There wasn't a lot of research. I just jumped in and swam to the end.
Yeah, definitely. But what I do like about you finding out and having this whole sort of haunt discovery of the UK is the fact that you've not just gone to screen park after screen park after screen park after haunt after haunt after haunt. You've got a big range of attractions and artists and you know, theatre companies as such with Faceless Ventures as well. It's a very sort of broad... Not broad as in you don't delve into it enough, as in broad as in lots of different elements to what make up this crazy world that we all love. And that's probably the best way to sort of start, maybe going through the list of who's involved within UK Haunters.
That comes from making films, because being a director of films is a kind of double-edged sword, because if it goes well, you get all the credit. If it goes badly, you get all the blame. But when it goes badly, I'll take the blame, man. I don't care. Whatever. People didn't like it. Shit on it. Fuck them. But when it goes well, I say, this isn't my film. It's our film. I had, like, The Tombs, for all its problems, and, you know, I'll go into that when that's out in the UK and we can bitch about it probably. The cameraman was fantastic. The editor was fantastic. I mean, there was the location was fantastic. There's so many elements, but people go, this person did this film. No, I didn't. A lot of people did this film. I just seemed to be the favourite. And that's what I wanted to show with Haunts. When it goes to Haunts, and Haunts, because there isn't a quote-unquote director, no one knows who the hell does it. It's like, oh, Brodich is this entity. It's not this entity. You got that guy there. You got those actors. You got that makeup. You got this, and that's what I wanted to show. It's not just a, oh, this is a haunt. It's like, these are all the elements. This is what makes up. This is what makes it magical.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about Brodich Haunt Fest. That's one of the key feature companies that you sort of follow throughout the film. And you, it's not just one sort of section as well. It's not that you're there on opening night or whatnot. You sort of see them also evolve throughout the year from how they create their attractions, with a bit of behind-the-scenes footage there. Also, them getting the cast in and doing all their auditions and then finally seeing it in full working order. I bet that was pretty cool to see how that sort of grows and develops into the final product when it comes to Halloween.
It's really interesting, and because I love the, again, it's a filmmaking thing, I love deconstructing things, and it was so nice, well, a for them to let me away, for everyone to let me but so nice just to see how it builds, how they start things, how, and what Brodich did, they did a lot of room deconstructions, and they were super, super honest about how everything works, which was great, because a lot of people like to try and keep their secrets. Now, the thing I did at this film is I got my long-suffering wife slash producer to go through the haunts when they were done, because obviously she edited it with me. She was over my shoulder making suggestions, this, that, and the other. And I wanted to show that even though you know how everything works, it's still bloody terrifying.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can, and as points documentary, you can learn all the tricks behind it. Cool. You can learn as much as you want, but you go through it, it's still absolutely goddamn terrifying.
Oh, definitely, definitely. People say to me, how are you still scared when you've done so many attractions? It's like, well, you see so many comedians, you still laugh at them.
Yeah, exactly.
Just the same kind of thing, definitely. But yeah, it was great to see. I've only been able to visit Brodich once, but when I did go, I was blown away. Such a fantastic event, great attraction. Multiple kinds of attractions as well. It's a fantastic sort of family team down there, and their whole team do a fantastic job as well. But it wasn't just Brodich you covered as well. Let's talk about a few of the other sort of companies that you covered. Faceless Ventures. Total different end of the spectrum when it comes to the UK haunt scene. They don't run screen parks as such. They run individual attractions, whether it be immersive theatre productions or what something that you covered mainly was their more extreme side of things with Cracked Survival Experience. Was that kind of quite eye-opening when you went there and thought, whoa, this shit's deep?
I nearly didn't do it because one of the influences behind this documentary was the Haunted Art of the Scare, which people have very strong opinions about. I thought was a fascinating documentary personally, but then because I don't run any haunts, maybe I don't feel the attack on the scene as much as some people do.
Potentially,
I was part of me was going, do you know what? It's covered extreme haunts. I don't need to cover it. But then the flip side of me went, right, you've laid down the gauntlet as a documentarian of the UK haunt scene. You can't now pick and choose what you cover. They are a part of the UK haunt scene. You have to cover them. That's, you know, that's what you've set out to do. But you can't edit the scene. You know what I mean? I would have done escape rooms if escape rooms weren't being so cagey with me and messing me around. I'd have done them, but they obviously weren't happy about being a documentary, so I left them to it. So I thought, I'll do it, and they were possibly the biggest eye-opener of the entire documentary. And you watch the documentary, I mean, you'll see it. I'm not going to go into it too much. But, yeah, they really, really switch them around. Again, as I say in the doc, still not my thing, but fully, fully appreciate what they can do.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And it does have a market out there, like you say, with the Haunted Eye of the Scare thing. Like, some other people, or other haunters, in fact, sort of look down their nose at the extreme side of things and ostracize them a bit, but they are there, they're prominent, they're popular with sort of certain markets. And, you know, Cracked here in the UK has had people from all over the world coming over to experience it. They have people from the States, Belgium, Germany, Holland. So although it's a very niche market, and like you say, very, very eye-opening, and I think there's a slight pun there for when people actually see the documentary as well. But it's yeah, I'm glad that it was covered, because it's not always my cup of tea. That as the years go on, I don't think I could do Cracked anymore. I did it about 4 or 5 years ago, and now it's just a little bit too intense for me. But I'm glad it was covered, because it does give, again, this global audience an insight that we do awesome haunts like Broadwich Haunt Fest, but we also do the crazy shit like Cracked with Faceless Ventures.
Yeah, and also, I mean, who gives a shit if they exist? I mean, you don't have to go there. It's the remake haters. Don't remake that film. That film's our favourite. They're not getting rid of the old one and replacing it.
you can still watch the old one.
It's still there, and the fact that they haven't released it in 50 years means they're probably not going to release it again. It might get a Blu-ray release now because they're doing a remake, but just, they can exist in the same universe. Just don't. You know, they're not... I'd say they're not hurting people, but that's not strictly true. They're not hurting people who aren't up for it. You know?
True, yeah.
So, yeah, no, I think it's a bit... And I said the only reason I wasn't going to cover them is because I thought they'd been covered and they're not my sort of thing. But I don't, I didn't have any hatred towards them, per se. But yeah, but I'm glad, so glad I did cover them.
Yeah, definitely. And they're such an open and nice team as well, the Faces Ventures team.
Yeah.
In fact, we did a game of Hurting just after we watched your documentary. So they're always up for a bit of fun and a little bit of light torture as well. a prominent feature is Andy Cookie Rawlings. You mentioned him earlier on, and that's how you sort of found out more so about this documentary. How was it that you know Andy? It was when you were filming at the London Tombs, wasn't it?
Yeah,
London Bridge Experience.
Yeah, it's when I was shooting the film The Tombs. It was a stressful production. I mean, any film is a stressful production, but this was particularly niggly. He would like, when he would show me shortcuts to get from one place to another, he would like, oh, this is that's a boo hole. And I'd be like, oh, what? And he would tell me all these things. And he's the one who sort of went, when I was chatting about going to America and doing his haunts, he was like, oh, yeah, you know, the English blah, blah, blah. I said, there's an English scene. And he was like, yeah. And he's the one who told me.
Yeah.
When I came back from America after doing Halloween Horror Nights Behind the Screams tour, and then going properly in depth. I didn't have a film to shoot, so they just went properly in depth. And I said to him, man, look, I from what you've told me and what I've learned of this, man, the UK's up to US standards and no one's talking about us. I fancy doing this documentary. Now, he's the one who did this entire Facebook chat to all the heavy hitters saying this is Danny's doing a documentary. And I swear, and he never takes credit for this, but I swear it's him being known and his word backing me, which is why most of the people opened up the doors and went, yeah, I'm coming.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Andy's definitely very well loved in the UK scare scene. He hosts the Scare Ball at ScareCon. Not only is he a fantastic scare actor, he's written a book about it as well. He really does know... Sorry?
Through the Dead Eye, is that his book?
Yeah, Through the Dead Eye, Eulogy to Scare Acting, which you can get on Amazon now as well. It's not only that, great scare actor, he knows his stuff, but the thing is with Andy as well, he's just a top quality nice guy, which helps.
Yeah. Cookie isn't, though.
Oh, Cookie's an absolute cock.
Yeah.
His alter ego. But it's great that, you were able to get him on. And like you say, the fact that he was sort of your bridge from your film world to our scare world. He was sort of the bridge that helped to get across with that. He was able to contact lots of people. Next up, I've got on my list, just looking through who else is involved in this. And one of my favourite bits, I mean, I love the whole film. I can't wait to watch it again. But the R Space Productions segment with their debut attraction of Death Cell, you know, they came onto the scene, you know, really kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
And it, again, a different dynamic of scare. You've now covered the main sort of scream terror farm. You've covered obviously Andy as an individual. covered the extreme side of things, and now it's the independents. We have lots of independent scare companies in the UK, which they're not part of any big organisation. They're not part of a theme park. They're not part of a farm park. They're a couple of people who've saved up some money or done a Kickstarter campaign who go, right, we're going to make a scare attraction and we're going to make it awesome. And from all the footage I've seen of Arspace Productions, they blew me away. I'm sure they did the same with you.
Yeah, well, it's quite funny because when I went to interview them the first time round, it was in this not huge empty warehouse, but it was a fair size empty warehouse. Then when I went back to get the footage, it was an interview with some of the scare actors that built it. And yeah. I was like, you did this in what, 5 days?
Yeah, insane.
You built amazing. I know that's... how long does Halloween Horror Nights take? I'm not how much they build it. But you see the updates on YouTube, and it's like every week they do a bit. And I said, no, they just went in and built basically a world.
Yeah, yeah, big time. And we got a mini Behind the Screams video of it over on our YouTube channel, so guys, you can check that out in the link below. But Sean, a member of the Scare Trap team, went down there and he filmed the whole behind the scenes for us. And it is a proper, solid, quality-made attraction. You know, some fantastic theming, some fantastic sounds, the actors, the story, everything was just... you know, theme park quality, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's just, you know what I really loved about it, which is what I really love about the haunt scene in UK and US, but it's the inventiveness.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the stories that go behind it. And I like, and I don't want to talk too much about this on the doc, but the way they say that the whole thing is this world, you get nominated to go into these prisons. So when you buy a ticket, you buy them in pairs. So yes. When you buy a ticket, you're technically nominating your friends. So even by the point of buying a ticket, you've entered the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and which is like a post-Brexit apocalyptic style, yeah, sort of Britain.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Can you imagine if only they knew?
I know, right?
We are so goddamn close to that world, especially now where they're saying they're encouraging neighbours to snitch on neighbours if you think they've got more than 6 people in their household. I mean, Jesus wept. Death Cell is so on the nose at the moment. It's unbelievable.
It really, it's kind of scary, really, isn't it?
Yeah, man. I think they're like the Simpsons of the haunt world.
Yeah. They're just preempting everything that's coming up. That's a bit scary. I'm a bit nervous for Death Cell too.
Although I'm going to take serious note of their next attraction.
Big time, big time. Yeah, if they mention any lottery ticket numbers, I'm going to write them down. And then another event, which again, going in a different direction, it's Zed Events. They obviously run sort of zombie chase style events, lots of different stuff. I've never actually experienced a Zed Events attraction, but again, did that just let you open up a whole other world of the scare entertainment?
Do you know what I loved about Zed Events? The one horn I ever did in the UK, and before finding out about this, before like the tombs and the dungeons, was Alien War. When I was,
yes,
he's one of the guys, Lee Fields is one of the guys of the Alien War. And I was like, oh, and I was interviewing him and he said it, and I wanted to go, oh my God, no! But I was trying to be prepared to get, but I was like, yeah, that was like, oh my God, you terrified me. Terrified me as a kid. And then when I was 14, I thought they went, and I thought they just fucking vanished into the ether, so I never bothered looking until this came up. But yeah, no, they are, again, another day. Their thing is more cinematic.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's a different experience. You can be more immersive and claustrophobic. They're more like open world and cinematic. So again, it's just a different way of tackling it. It's more paintball-ish.
Yeah, okay, that makes
sense. More action. I'm not sure if they use paintballs. I never actually got a chance to go through it, unfortunately. But it's more action orientated. So again, it's just it's another angle.
Yeah, definitely. And again, just another thing to be able to show the rest of the world that we are we're not only great haunters, great scarers, but we're quite diverse when it comes to the kind of stuff we do as well.
Yeah, and the fact that he changed from, he did the zombie shopping mall thing, and they've changed it into a Mad Max thing, where again he's evolving a world. He's doing what Marvel does. but in a
whole. Yeah,
you know, it's a continuing story. The world is evolving.
Definitely, definitely. And speaking of evolving, the next couple of people that I want to talk about actually really just evolve and change people into unrecognizable beings, and I'm quite happy with that segue. Horrify Me, obviously, Scare, sort of photography, and you got made up for this one, didn't you, as well, Dan?
That was a very nice segue, I might add. I was
thank you.
Impressed with that. Horrify Me, they, again, fucking fantastic. I mean, I wanted to do them because, again, I wanted to get behind what people went through. Not even like, this is how good they are. I wanted to feel how people went through, because I dress up for Halloween, but not that much, and nowhere near his. God, I'd love him to see my Halloween costume. But I really want to know like what haunters go through to look that gross. So I wanted to be put through the process. And stepped up and just turned me into this gross, slimy zombie Frankenstein thing. I mean, his work is just mate.
He is truly phenomenal, and I'm really glad that you're obviously his stuff's going to be I'm not going to say niche, but there's only so many family portraits where you will see the child holding his decapitated mother's head, which he got a lot of flack for, but fair play to him. But yeah, not every family are doing that, not every couple are going for vampire shoots, but the ones that do are my kind of people and your kind of people, and we like them. Yeah. So I'm glad that not only does he have a prominent presence within that world here in the UK, the rest of the world now going to be able to check out your documentary and see he's got such an awesome artistic license, and the way he shoots things.
You know what I mean? Get his work, get the prints. I mean, he does posters as well.
Definitely, definitely. We've got a few of Hannah's shoot up here. We've got some prints, we've got some canvases, purely because it's just awesome. And don't get me wrong, it's cool to see stuff, on your computer screen and on your phone. But until you see it there in nice big print, you can really, really, truly just check out. Not only, is he awesome with the makeup, but the actual photography of it as well. The angles, the lighting, the smoke, the blood. He just has an eye for it, doesn't he? Exactly, yeah, definitely. So, Rick Jones from Horrify Me. I'm glad you're able to experience it as well, because then you're able to experience it firsthand rather than just sort of watching his brilliance as well.
Yeah.
Definitely, definitely. And speaking of brilliance and fantastic makeup as well, you interviewed Claire from Scare Faces as well, and she's worked on multiple things. I know she's worked with making up Big Brother zombies. She's worked at Trillers Oktoberfest, the head of makeup there. Was it cool to be able to get an insight into her mind as well? And she does it slightly different to Rick.
They're very different, because Rick was more about transforming me, and his process as an artist to transforming people, whereas Claire, when she transformed people, is specifically for haunts.
Yes, yes.
So people might think, why two makeup artists? But it's so vastly different between doing something photography and doing something for haunts. But at the same time, you can kind of see the same artistic vein going through them, and it's quite interesting to compare them, where Rick kind of has this basic idea and builds a story in the photograph. Claire has the idea and builds the story throughout the haunt. So it's not just the person's image, it's the way they act and interact. So she's got to think about, okay, this makeup's really cool, but you also have to be able to interact with it. It has to last longer. It has to have a bit more wear and tear to it. So you could argue they're the same, but again, so, so different, and such different approaches to their art as well.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And that comes across in the documentary as well. Like I said, I was able to see it last year, had a fantastic night at the Mexico Business Centre with the Faceless Ventures team, yourself, and obviously being able to watch the documentary as well. And it does show that they're two different sort of styles, two different environments, really, that both deliver a fantastic product at the end, as do every single attraction you cover. They all give us a fantastic product, whether it's scaring at a Scream Park, getting terrified at an Extreme Haunt, or chasing or running away from, more like zombies with something like Z Events, or being in a post-Brexit Britain with R-Space Productions. So a huge selection of the UK haunt scene, but like I say, not purely predominantly just Scream Parks. There's a whole mixture.
I mean, I think we've got to mention the last couple of people. We've got Dan Burgess, who's a scare actor.
Yes, a damn fantastic scare actor, works at the world famous Tuddy's Shocktoberfest.
Screamed at me many a times.
Yes, he's got me a fair few as well. I didn't recognise him until I saw your doc. I was like, ah, yes. And then I looked back at some of my scare cams. I was like, he has got me time and time again.
And he's a
stand up scare actor.
It's the same thing with Andy. It's Andy and him are both scare actors. Now, I tried not to double up. I tried not to have, like, two traditional scare attractions, two traditional this, two traditional that. But with Andy, I wanted a deep psychological background look of how he got into it and his journey. With Dan, he's quite fun because he's more of a... He's, like, just answers basic scare actor questions.
Yeah.
Like, he's got a short section where Andy goes throughout his entire journey. Dan more talks about what scare actors do and... it's quite interesting that, like, he says, you know, like, what are you? Are you the main scare? Are you a roamer to build people's tensions up? Or are you there, once someone scared them, you're there to, like, you know, just scare them out? Are you there to carry on somebody else's scare? So, again, it's even though they're both scare actors, you're getting completely different things out of them, where Dan goes a lot about the actual hands-on, on-the-day scare acting and what that is like.
Yes, yeah. And again, it just gives a different insight to it, doesn't it? You know, there's some great clips throughout the film of Jess being terrified, your producer and long-suffering wife getting terrified within attractions. But then it's also cool to sort of dissect that a little bit and see how people like Dan manage to scare us in all those different kinds of ways.
Yeah, because hopefully because I've followed Brodich is in different sections throughout. Mm-hmm. So hopefully by the time you get to that section, you've kind of seen enough of the makeup, the actors, the sound, all that stuff. So when I basically put her through a horn and filmed her getting terrified, hopefully you don't just go, oh, that's funny, she's getting terrified. You start to pick up what people have mentioned and what tricks they use and what sounds have been used, and what makeup techniques have been used. Hopefully, so you can watch it. I like to think it's got quite a good rewatchability factor. If you watch it, you go, that's interesting, then you can watch again, pick up more things. And then when you look at the end scene, you sort of go, oh, okay, yeah. I see what they're doing. Nice. I see what they're doing there. And like you said, like with Nick Hudson, who's the composer, it's like you just don't think of the music.
Of course.
In the horrors, scores are now very, very, very well renowned, and score art, you know, people now have vinyls where they listen to just film scores. But it's because we live in such a visual world and haunts are so visual, we tend to forget the subtleties.
Mm-hmm. Of it.
And again,
what I
try to get with most people when possible was them to completely destruct an element of their craft. And that's what he did, where he got a score. I mean, this is that, this is what this does. And breaks it down for you. And you can break it down. That's amazing. That's fantastic. That's interesting. Still, but then by the end of it, you still realise it was still terrifying. You've just learned something new along the way. And hopefully, piqued your interest. And hopefully, maybe when you go through a haunt, maybe not this year, but...
yeah, maybe next year.
But maybe when you watch walkthroughs on YouTube, it's like maybe you can sort of go, oh, I see. You can appreciate the music a bit more and you appreciate what they're actually doing.
Definitely, yeah. There's so many ingredients to scare attractions where I think some, like music, don't get the kudos they should. Obviously, the scare actors, people will come out and going, oh my God, did you see that scare actor that scared Shelley? Yada, yada, yada. Or did you see that room where his head was getting cut off? But you'd never have anyone come out and go, did you hear the music in room two? That was terrifying.
Or someone does a big bat noise that scares someone to go, oh, that scared me. Yeah, that scared you. But what was building up your anxiety slowly in the background? The music.
Yeah.
But you don't realise it so much because it creeps in behind you. And that's what's so good about it.
Definitely, definitely. Music is definitely hugely underrated, and we're lucky that in the UK we've got some fantastic composers such as Nick Hudson to create some amazing scores throughout the attractions we go through. Can't wait for it to come out. Like I say to all the listeners, get on Amazon, get on iTunes, 29th of September, you're able to get it. And you're able to get it as a physical copy DVD as well, aren't you, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, I have got sent a physical copy from a distribution company, which is very nice, and enough to give to some of the people, well, all the people involved, all the haunts anyway. Yeah, so you can get physical copy. It does say Region 1 on the back, but it's not. It plays on my PlayStation. But yeah, they're physical copies. I'm presuming the physical copies are out at the same time as the downloads, and I just got told it will all be available on all relevant platforms, Amazon, iTunes, on 29th of September. So hopefully that will be done. If you like it, please go and leave a review, IMDb and Amazon and all that. If you didn't like it, then keep your salty ass opinion to yourself.
Keep your mouth to yourself. But definitely give it some love and support, IMBD, Amazon, obviously over on the socials as well. If it's on Instagram, it's UK Haunters_movie, and if it's on Facebook, it's purely UK Haunters. Give it a like, give spam it with a load of comments, give it loads of shares. Honestly, we want the whole world, not just here in the UK, we want the whole world, the haunt scene in Europe, the haunt scene in America, we want them to check out this film. And now they can, you know, from the 29th of September, the whole world can see, you know, just a glimpse of how amazing the UK is when it comes to the scare world and haunted houses, scare attractions, immersive theatre, makeup, photography. We really do have it all. So we're very lucky.
I would love some haunt tourism. I'd love the Americans to go, shit, man. I was being interviewed by a podcast, a Haunters podcast, and like, oh my god, you've got some stuff in your clip we don't have in America. It's like, come over.
Yeah.
I always come over to you to check out your haunts. Come over and check out ours. I'd love to, you know, get this to ignite a spark for people to start looking at the haunts and then seeing how great they are. And then the plan was that I hope that before COVID went bugging it all up, that this would come out, everyone would go, oh my god, these haunts are amazing, and rush to them this Halloween. But lying.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, what my plan originally, because we've been planning this a long time for when the actual release dates come in, it would be ending it on, so what haunts are you going to hit this year? And without trying to put a downer on the end of this episode, there's not that many open this year. But that's all the more reason for everyone to, if you're not going to a haunt this year, you can't trick or treat, you can't go to a Halloween party or whatnot. Even if you do, we're not going to dob you in. But we reckon it's a perfect chance to at least celebrate Halloween in some way, shape or form by watching UK Haunters, because you won't regret it.
Because I've heard so many people say Halloween is cancelled. And my opinion is, the only thing that's going to cancel Halloween is your salty arse attitude.
Definitely.
So pack it in.
Definitely.
I mean, even if I'm sitting at home with all the animatronics I bought, playing the horrified board game, dressed up, drinking and eating crap and watching horror films with me and my wife, I'm going to celebrate Halloween. Halloween is not cancelled. Halloween is a lifestyle, man. It's a state of mind. It's a holiday. Celebrate it in any way. Have a Zoom party. Do an escape room, horror escape room with your mates on Zoom. I mean, there's ways to enjoy it. It's not cancelled. It's not perfect. Don't get me wrong. I'd much rather do a ton of haunts than I was going to do. But just love it, man. Yeah. Just love it. Do what you can do.
Absolutely.
And watch the documentary.
And
as well,
watch the documentary. Because, you know. Exactly. That's perfect. You know, I'm similar to Dan. I don't have a house full of animatronics, but I do have a smoke machine and a laser beam. So I might be making a swamp in my living room again.
Oh my god, that's what I should have done. I should have done a swamp.
Yeah, Hannah's birthday, we were supposed to go to. I'm totally sidebarring, by the way, guys, but bear with me.
Yes.
It was Hannah's birthday. We were supposed to go to Amsterdam, and of course, there we always do an episode from the Amsterdam dungeons. This year, flights were cancelled. We're in lockdown. So instead, I asked everyone to send birthday messages, which were lovely. Everyone did. Some people made them Amsterdam-esque. How you feel they've done done that. I'll let your own imagination run wild. Some were crazy, some were crazier, and some were lovely. But I decided I was going to recreate the Amsterdam dungeons in our spare room, and I literally pumped it full of smoke with laser beams, invited Hannah in, and scared her to death. So you can have Halloween at home. Just
you can.
Like Dan said, not what we wanted to do, but it's Halloween's a way of life. You know what I mean?
But do you know what it is? This documentary, the entire thing I praise is inventiveness. Yes. Just take that inventiveness.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. Again, inventiveness is the word here. Definitely. Awesome. I think that brings us to the perfect end. Dan, a huge thank you for coming on. As always, it's always a pleasure.
Pleasure's always,
it's
man.
Always awesome. Pleasure's we need all. To do another movie review very soon, for sure.
We do, especially because it's coming up to days away from this. Is still haunt season, by the way, for those listening. Yes. Anyone confused? Haunt season is September and October.
It's even the first week, the first week of November. I try and push it to September, October. Even the first week of November is haunt season, as long as possible. I mean, people start celebrating Christmas in shops in August. Do you know what I mean? So we can have Halloween. We can have Halloween.
Once Halloween's done, we have Day of the Dead, which I've made for my own reasons. After the Day of the Dead, then cool, Christmas. Yeah. There are three seasons in this world. There's haunt season, Christmas season. We haven't had haunt season.
That's the best way to look at life. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we're waiting for haunt. There's nothing haunt Christmas, then nothing again. Definitely.
Then we haven't had it yet. Let's get excited.
Yeah, let's get excited.
Let's
get on Amazon. Let's get on iTunes. Download or purchase to have your own physical copy in your house, so you can watch it at any time. I can't wait to watch it again. It's a fantastic documentary. Dan, thank you so much for doing it on this amazing scene that we all know and love.
I would just like to say, I know you keep trying to wrap.
No, go ahead, man.
Jabbering, but I would like to again say thank you publicly to all. You included in this, but everyone who took part, who opened the doors, let me in, and just basically took a chance on me. Yeah. Said, this guy's never done a documentary before. He's done a few horror films, and just let me play in their playground and document it and supporting it all the way. I mean, it's so appreciated. You have no idea.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that's what I love about a vast majority of this crazy, scare world we all live in. We're all slightly bonkers, but we're kind of nice when we want to be. most of us anyway, definitely. Perfect. Excellent. So yeah, everyone who's involved in UK Haunters, a huge thank you for letting Dan come in and make this documentary. Dan, thank you for creating this documentary. I can't wait to watch it again, and we'll see you next time on the Scare Track podcast.
Cool, catch you later. You're listening to Scare
Track. Unlocked Vision, proud sponsors of the Scare Track podcast. UVE are a multi-award-winning themed attraction and design company, providing bespoke themed attractions, theming, events, and experiences. Contact UVE today by visiting unlockedvision.com. Now, let's return back to the show. And remember, let's get scared!
So there we go, folks. First of all, a huge thank you to Dan Brownlee for coming on to the Scare Track podcast once again. Always a pleasure to have Dan on the show, and there will be another movie review coming soon as well. But folks, I cannot wait for UK Haunters to be on general release, going out on Tuesday the 29th of September. Globally, all around the world, you'll be able to purchase a copy, whether you purchase it for download or purchase your hard copy. You can get an actual physical disc as well, which is exactly what I'll be doing. Can't wait to watch it. Can't wait to share my thoughts with you guys after you have seen it as well. So get your copy, like I say, Tuesday the 29th of September, UK Haunters, the first feature-length documentary covering the UK scare attraction and haunted house industry, is out for everyone to watch around the world, and we need to let the rest of the world know how awesome our scene here is here in the UK. Remember to follow UK Haunters on Instagram and Facebook as well. Be sure to like, subscribe, comment, share, do whatever you can to make it as popular as possible. And whilst you're there, make sure you're following us on social media as well. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and Facebook. Just search for Scare Track. So that brings us almost to the end of this episode of the Scare Trap Podcast. Once again, thank you so much for listening. And as we mentioned in the interview, this is a very different Halloween. Lots of events, unfortunately, postponed to 2021. But there are a handful of events still going ahead, but you will need to wear your masks. Where can you get the best masks ever? Only at scaretrack.co.uk. We'll take you to the Smart Effects merch store where you can get your own Scaretrack pumpkin face mask. I'm getting mine ready for haunt season. Make sure you get yours as well, guys. You can get everything on there, as well as all our YouTube videos, our podcast, anything you need Scaretrack and Coaster Track related. It's all on our website at www.scaretrack.co.uk. So thank you so much for listening. It's almost October, which means Halloween is in the air. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.